The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, we got some complaints.
Complaints?
For some,
what?
We actually got complaints from people who enrolled in the bundle, the MAPS Anabolic Program.
No way.
The No BS Six Pack, the Nutrition Survive Guide, the Fasting Guide. So John from Wisconsin, I'm going to read you this complaint. I used to wear lots of t-shirts all the time. I enjoy wearing comfortable clothes. I've blown out the sleeves on all my shirts now.
Whoa.
Because my arms got too big. So he wants a refund. And
so
he wants
sorry.
And he wants us to pay for all his new shirts.
Do we refund for that, Doug? I don't think we do we? I think those are just, isn't that in the warning side effects?
That's expected.
Yeah, I know, we put that as a disclaimer at the beginning.
Okay, I thought
so. It's expected.
I thought so.
Yeah. What about, did you guys read it, Susan's?
No, what she said.
Is it about dancing? I thought I read that one.
Yeah, so she's a dancer part-time just for fun or whatever. After doing the program, she now has been accepted into the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh,
wow. Jeez.
And
that's such a shame.
That's not what she's complaining about. She's complaining because she expected to have a six-pack. She ended up getting an eight-pack.
Oh,
and they told her she had to go down to a six-pack or she can't perform for the Cirque anymore.
Too
it's intimidating.
It's just too creepy.
It's very intimidating.
Eight-pack.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
What about that one you had, Adam, about that guy?
I think we're going to have to tell. Which one? The guy, the computer guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy, I have this guy, Richard, from over in Texas.
AKA who, Dick.
Yeah. No, he was complaining of what had happened to him. He's been doing the program now for like 4 months. And he said when he got back, the second time back to the phase one, he had noticed that his penis had grown so much that he was no longer fitting in any of his underwear. So he had to go in and redo all new underwear. And
he ripped holes in them?
Yeah, it's literally, it sounds like it was bursting out of the seams the way he said
that.
I'm like, this
That's
guy.
Funny that you mentioned that because Steve from Ohio, I believe, he was talking about...
No, that was Iowa. Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. Yeah, I was confused those two. Yeah.
Well, anyway, he apparently, he's got three STDs. It's because he's having so much sex.
God,
the last 3 weeks.
Damn it. Well, all right. Disclaimer.
Maybe we need to stop selling the bundle.
Let's sell condoms.
Well,
let's just
give everyone a disclaimer. Look, if you guys buy the program, which by the way it's a super low price, we're basically giving it away. But you get the MAPS Anabolic Program, the No BS Six Pack Formula, you get a Nutrition Survival Guide, you get a Fasting Guide. If you do that, if you enroll in all that, you might get some side effects. You might have an enlarged penis.
Yep.
Your arms might explode the sleeves off your shirt. You might get an eight pack.
You might get STDs because you're having so much sex.
Because you're having way too much sex.
Bodacious booty is another one.
And
I
a
heard.
Bodacious booty. Yeah. So just FYI, listen, you know, side effects. They're not super common, but they may happen. So we want to let you know. We want to be honest.
Yeah.
Mindpumpradio.com.
It happens.
Be safe.
Click the yellow button.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
One, two,
Mind
three.
Mind Pump! It's here! We're fucking awesome!
Damn, see? I can't do that.
I was weak. Yeah. I didn't know where to go with that.
I can't either, bro.
He was born with it. It's a gift that he was born with.
It is. So, you know,
you got to feel like electric bolts are charging your balls, and then you can sing better. Yeah! Ooh, it burns.
Who's your favorite screamer? Do you have a favorite screamer?
I mean that White Snake guy.
Her name is Belladonna.
You know what? You know what's the craziest?
Yeah, who's your favorite screamer?
Oh, like Scream?
Yeah, who's your favorite screamer? Come on, you are a heavy metal guy.
I know, that's like so hard to narrow down. You know the lead singer Killswitch Engage?
Oh yeah.
Before he left, he's doing another project now. But yeah, that guy's awesome.
Dude, you guys work out today?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what a stupid question. Yeah. Why would I ever ask that?
Why would I not?
Do you guys have good workouts? We never talk about our workouts. So I figured, fuck, before we do this Q&A, we might
have
to talk about...
Yeah, I did. I've totally focused on power today. It was kind of fun. So I was doing power cleans. I was doing press.
Did you lift all the weights again?
All of them. Fuck. Just fucking stacked.
What a dick. I would hate to be in your gym.
I made a brick house out of it.
How was your workout? Low energy, sleepy?
Oh, bro. It's tough, dude. All three of them were tough. Chest and calves. Before that, I actually got up and did fasted cardio. Just got up and rode the bike. I didn't even have the energy to power walk on an incline or even do the elliptical, which is what I normally do. So I sat on the bike and did my emailing and took care of some work stuff while I rode the bike for an hour. And then I came back 2 hours later after I had my first no-carb meal, and then came back and lifted chest and calves. After my chest and calves, I stayed around and did another 30 minutes of steady state cardio. So it was, but you know what, at this point.
He sounds like he likes it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, this is, I mean, here we are, you know, I'm in that final week. So, and we'll get to that in my San Jose update or whatever like that, or my road to the show or whatever update. But definitely it's this.
wait, try it again.
Yeah, bro.
The synapses are not firing like they normally.
No, dude, they do not. I've been apologizing the last week. I'm like, it's just not all there, man. It's not.
Well, we got to just give like one word for you. Just like, hey.
Yeah.
Well,
don't ask me a lot of questions tonight. So yeah,
don't worry. We won't.
Sal already put me on the spot with the commercial already. He's just like, hit it, Adam. And I'm like, yeah, right, the normal quick self that I normally am is just not there tonight. Yeah. So,
well, I had a great workout today. I felt strong as hell.
Well, I saw your big deads with the chain the other day.
I know.
That's not bad. I did, what did I do? 515 plus chains. That's all right.
You're doing some heavy front squats there, huh?
275. I was doing some sets. You know what I did? So I bought, I don't know what you call them, Olympic lifting shoes or whatever.
Shoes, whatever they want to.
And because the heel is a little lifted in them. And I'm looking at you, Adam, because you got long legs and you're tight as fuck like I am.
Yeah.
Bro, makes a huge difference.
I've been looking into them for a while.
Huge. Bro, I sat right in the hole like so. Normally it's like, I got to fucking like move and it just squeeze into it. It was just nice. And I came up and I felt like I could just drive with my legs. You know what I mean? I felt like I didn't have to like use my back so much.
Yeah, well, they used to use blocks for that, you know, before. I just squat with a block under my heels.
Well, that's because you're fucking thug.
Yeah, thug life.
Yeah, no, I felt strong as shit, dude. So I had a great workout, and I'm hoping to be below 6% body fat when you're 2% body fat on stage. I always got to try. I got to stay within 4%.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Can it be 4%?
Actually, what I plan on doing, and I might as well put it out there, is staying leaner than you post show.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think.
You know what we're gonna do is I'm gonna make you take your clothes off and streak on stage.
You're going to make me? Yeah. I was planning on doing that.
Throw you out there.
I was planning on doing it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page.
They're going to see the hairy blur.
Are you guys' wives coming?
No.
No.
No wives?
They don't like that kind of shit.
What? Really?
No
shit.
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Justin told me, he's like, let's not
I don't want you to steal my wife.
Justin's like, he's like, let's not bring sand to the beach, Sal. Yeah, let's exactly, go, guys. Right? You know what I mean?
Like, why would we do that? Like, here you go. Here, wolf.
Yeah.
Here.
Eat this.
All right, let's get on the questions.
Yeah.
The questions and answers. All right. First question is from Seabiscuit_fit. And their question is, what is our opinion on testosterone boosting supplements? Test boosters.
There's a difference between test boosters and pro hormones, right?
Oh, yeah. Hormone is a test decliner.
Well, I think it's important to note that, because that's what we've answered a question about pro hormone stuff before. And, you know, someone hears testosterone booster and they might think they're similar.
Mm-mm. No, a test booster in the category of a test booster is something that would increase your body's natural production of testosterone, or at the very least, it would boost the amount of of available testosterone, because testosterone can be bound in the blood. So you could have high testosterone, but a lot of it can be bound and then it's not usable. So some supplements will actually increase the amount of available testosterone, which in essence gives you more testosterone.
Versus a pro hormone, which...
The classical definition of pro hormone is a supplement that gets converted into an anabolic hormone. So like androstenedione back in the day was a pro hormone because it was one step away from testosterone. And then there's pro-steroids, which are over-the-counter designer steroids. Basically, there's no difference from them and a steroid. It's just...
Which is the pro-hormone stuff.
Which is close to that.
Which we're not fans of that. We're big fans of test boosters.
Yes.
Difference.
Yeah, some test boosters will work. Now, the problem is not very many of them are backed by studies that show an increase in testosterone. What they show is an increase in the effects that higher testosterone would give you. So, for example... Horny goat weed, and yes, that's the name. That's the actual name of the supplement. Horny goat weed. It's like, how can you fit three of my favorite things in one sentence?
That was totally not a goat sound, by the way.
So horny goat weed contains something called. I think the active ingredient is called epimedium or something like that. I'm pronouncing it wrong, but anyhow, it's a natural nitric oxide booster. It prevents the degradation of nitric oxide in a very similar way to how Viagra works. So if you take horny goat weed, you'll get boners. And so people are like, oh, it made my testosterone levels go up. Not really. The studies don't show that it gets your testosterone levels up, but it will give you more boners.
Why don't you just
more like Viagra?
Warm it up a little bit before you go lift weights, right? You just get a couple.
Well, you know, a lot of people ask questions on the pro hormones, the test boosters, and, you know, it's, obviously, we can't tell how old these people are, but you know, once you get to 30 years old, I mean, it's actually not that hard to go down and go see a hormone therapist and actually get some shit prescribed if you want something that's really going
to
work.
But you have to have low testosterone, though.
They're scared.
Because the vast majority of test booster users don't have low testosterone. They just want higher testosterone.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too, though. I mean, if you want higher testosterone and you already have your testosterone levels are fine and you're still seeking that, I mean, you may as well go see a doctor and get it done the right way, get it done fully.
And yeah, I've never been into these supplemental testosterone
ideas.
Yeah, it's either, I mean, you're in or you're out, dude. I'll get my testosterone from lifting heavy weights.
Right.
And that's it.
And if you want more, go see a therapist, like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I've used a few of them.
You're going to waste your money on that shit.
Well, I've used a few of them just because I like experimenting with supplements. And, okay, so one in particular statistically will definitely work. It will raise your testosterone. However, it's a very short-lived. The testosterone boost lasts about 10 days, and it's called D-aspartic acid. If you take D-aspartic acid, you will have a boost in testosterone for about 10 days, and then after that, it kind of goes away.
Do we have any sort of idea? Like so your natural testosterone levels range between 400 and...
Oh, it'll give you a good boost.
400 to 1,100.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are we talking here? Is it going to boost you up 50?
It depends on the... Yeah, yeah. Can get a 50% increase in testosterone.
Oh, 50%?
Does that show up on tests?
No, get out of here.
Like PDP blood tests?
Get out of here. I call bullshit. There, you can get no 50% off of some over-the-counter bullshit.
No. Listen, here's what you got to understand. If an athlete uses steroids, right? Yeah. The average athlete will use minimum, and I'm talking like minimum, like what, 200 milligrams of testosterone a week?
Yeah.
Minimum, right?
Yeah.
You boost your natural testosterone levels 50%, you're not even coming close to 50 milligrams of testosterone in terms of an injection. So even if you increase it 50%, you might feel better, you might notice, but are you going to get gains in the gym? No.
You should Google that because I actually have looked this up before. I believe that 50 milligrams of synthetic testosterone is equivalent to about 1,000.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, so it's not going to give you that much. So what you'll get from test boosters is you might feel better. It might make the health of your testosterone levels better. But are you going to get gains from them? Maybe a little bit.
Splitting hairs.
A little bit of an edge, yeah.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, you're wasting your time. You're probably better off. You're definitely better off focusing on the type of workout you're doing.
Skip 2 days of not hitting your macronutrients, and it'll have enough adverse effect to cancel out what that one
totally
thing, you know.
Totally. So. But the best test boosters I've ever used, D-aspartic acid is good. Tribulus is an old one that might do a little bit. Horny goat weed makes
methoxybolic.
No, those are the those are the flavones found in plants. There is one called Ectisterone, which is, I've used certain brands of Ectisterone, and I definitely notice a benefit using that, but not on a testosterone boosting basis. That's more on just recovery and muscle building. But again, does it compare to creatine? No, creatine is much more of a dramatic effect. So test boosters, I mean, try them. They're fun, but it's not going to give you really that much. Let's see. Next question. This is from Raging Wheezy Gains 88. That's a great name.
Raging Wheezy.
So his question is thoughts on a chemical called MK677, otherwise known as ibutamin or ibutamorin. So here's the thing. He's asking me questions. There's two questions here. He thinks it's the same. He's saying that this is considered a SARM. SARM is an acronym for a selective androgen receptor modulator. So ibutamorin is not a SARM. Ibutamorin is a mimicker of growth hormone. It's called a secretagogue. Taking ibutamorin will increase production of growth hormone and insulin-like growth factor. It does work. Studies do show that it works. Now, SARMs are substances that connect to the androgen receptor, like testosterone would, except they're not testosterone. So they give you some of the effects that testosterone would, but they're not affecting your hormone levels. That's the theory behind them. Similar to like a SERM, like a selective estrogen receptor modulator, like Novadex, which is a drug that athletes will take to block this estrogen receptor so they don't get gyno when they go on steroids or whatever.
I'm so glad our listeners are like, you know, super elementary.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like beginner fitness people.
Yeah, right.
I'm just blowing everybody's
brains.
They're
just like, how do you lose weight?
Yeah, no, they're like, tell me about a SARM.
Like, I'm trying to get like lean muscles.
Can I just say the first two questions though are both tied to, hopefully both these people already have our fasting guide.
Right.
Yeah.
Because both those things, the benefits that you get from fasting, fasting would be as equivalent, if not higher.
Let's see if we can do this naturally.
Yeah, right. you get a huge growth hormone boost when you fast. But anyway, nonetheless, so here's a deal with these substances.
Great specific questions.
These substances are not legal. They are in testing at the moment, and the only way you can get them online is as research chemicals. Which is like this gray area loophole. Here's the deal. I would not take one of these because it modulates a receptor, but it's not testosterone. We know what testosterone does. We don't know what these things do in the long term. It could potentially have, you know, effect on androgen sensitive, you know, cancers like prostate cancer. It could, it could have all kinds of bad effects. I've read on the, and this is anecdote, but I've read on the forums that people say that there's one SARM in particular that will affect their night vision. So at night they can't see as well. So I'm like, what are you doing? Like, don't take this. These are literally experimental chemicals. So I highly do not recommend that you take them or try them. Now, if they get approved in the future, they will be regulated and controlled drugs, which means you'll probably have to get a doctor's prescription anyway. So now that everybody's tuned out, let's go to the next question.
Now that everyone tuned off, they're like, fuck this episode.
Yeah. All right.
Fuck this episode. This makes no sense.
Dicks and balls and
all right,
titties.
So here's a... Here's a good question.
Offset that one.
I guarantee you guys are going to have stories on this one. So this one's from Zach Harding. Have you ever disliked a client so much that you basically bailed on them or dropped them on another trainer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who wants to go first?
Yeah.
Justin, why don't you share your story? Since I don't know.
There's a pattern to this because we have somewhat addressed this, I think, way back when in one of the episodes. But... you know, there's more meat to be had here. And this one for me has the same theme. It was based off of somebody that came in with a real specific idea of what they wanted to experience in the workout. And it was very much of an intensity driven idea. And so here's the problem. Okay. When you're coming in and you have your own sort of preconception of what you want to experience, you're coming in and you're trying to determine everything. So that's what was happening with this lady. This lady was trying to like, this is what I want to do today. This is what I want to do today. And me, I'm like a service oriented person. I want to make sure everybody has a great experience. And then that I do provide elements of what they like, you know, per se, but, I went over and above for this lady and like, for most of my clients, what I'll do in the beginning is I'll take them even shopping and we'll go and I'll break down the entire grocery store for them. And that's in a sense where, you know, I was coming up with this nutrition guide feel because, you know, I want people to understand, like have a good concept of, you know, how to eat properly, like how to navigate, you know, how to get through this and where the starting point is. And all of this, she just was, none of the nutrition stuff, like, she applied zero. And would just come in and was like, okay, now.
So she's telling you how to do your job is what she's doing.
Telling me how to do my job. She wants to just, like, some CrossFit style workout. And I'm like, listen, you know, like, you're going to burn yourself out. I'm going to have you. She wanted to train, like, 6 days a week and just get blasted, you know. And I'm just like, look, you know, this is very short-lived. Like, you're going to not only – you might have, like, immediate sort of results from this as far as, like, weight loss. However, you know, the rebounding effect to this, because you're going to burn out, is going to be substantial. And sure enough, like, I was just – after 2 weeks – you know, she's like burning out and like was complaining about, you know, certain things. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to train you like at that intensity. And like, and I started like really like laying my foot down. And then she's like, well, and we kind of had a falling out. I'm like, well, I'm done. You're not doing any of the nutrition that I'm telling you to do. And you're just, you know, you obviously know what you're doing. So, you know, have a good one.
Wow. And do you know what ever happened to her?
Yeah, she got fat again. That's what happens. They don't fucking listen to me, you get fat.
Oh god, I love how you put it like that.
How about you have any more, Adam?
Yeah, well, so I don't know if Zach's been with us for a while, so I don't remember if he's heard the episode where I talked about this, because so first of all, I was a trainer for only about a year and a half. When I first started. After that, I moved pretty quickly up into management at a very young age. And for most of my career, I trained trainers, and I only kept a handful of clients. So, of course, I had the opportunity to hand pick my clients. But when I was a trainer, I was known for taking all the shit clients. I was willing to do all the worst.
The shit clients.
Yeah. I'm just keeping it real with you. As trainers, we'd all give it that, you know, the clients that nobody wants, you know, the clients that are, they haggle about price, that they balk about the nutrition. They don't, you know, they're flaky. They show up late. They're everything, nagging. They don't listen. Just like Justin's talking about the client he's talking about right now. I mean, I had them all. And, for me, when I first started, the competitive side of me, I used to thrive off of that. I used to find it challenging that I would take these clients and turn them into these long-term clients with me and sell big packages and programs to them.
Yeah, that's how it all starts out.
Yeah. And I exactly. And that's where I'm heading with this, is that, you know, I would do all that and have all these clients, and it was like this challenge for me. Like, I'll take these people, and it was always like, you know, how do I overcome this? So for a long time, I was that guy as a trainer. And then when I became a fitness manager, so when I was now leading trainers, I got the hand pick. Now, every once in a while, I would still pick a challenging client just to challenge myself and see how far along I've come as a trainer. But for the most part, I absolutely would delegate all of these clients out. And in fact, I got to a point where I had been doing this long enough that I became very picky with my clients. And I am very much so picky right now. I am, many people sometimes get a bad taste in their mouth when they deal with me, because like, I've gotten to the point now in my career
I don't really take shit from anybody.
And I know how good I am at what I do. Been doing it for a very long time. I've changed a lot of lives and helped a lot of people at all fitness levels get to where they need to be. And when I get somebody who right out the gates wants to challenge me and is going to like push back at me, I just tell them straight up, say, you know, here's the thing. Like, I'm actually not interested in training you. And I have trainers that are friends of mine, some of that would probably help you out and that would love to help you out. And normally they're like, huh? Well, I don't get what do you mean you're not? I said, because I'm at a point in my career where I don't want to spend half of our time together explaining why I'm telling you to do this or fighting you on why you should be doing this. Like, I'm in the business now of people that are looking for the next level of fitness, or they're already intelligent and they just cannot figure out this next piece. And I want to help put those people together, and I want to help take them to that level. And they're going to put the work in that I tell them to do. I'm not looking to, you know, motivate you every single day to do what I'm telling you to do and then see you fail at it 5 to 6 times. Like, I became beyond that as a trainer. I don't want to do that anymore. I got tired of it. It takes a lot of energy out of us when you think, and those are the clients that fail, you know. And in reality, we've talked about this before, you know, the success rate of a client is, you know, it's less than 50%. you know, of the people that actually reach their ultimate goal as far as their ultimate physique or health or whatever it is they're trying to achieve. So, you know, that can be, for a guy like, you know, all of us who've been doing this for so many years, it takes a toll, you know? And so now I'm at a point in my career where, you know, I take the people, and don't get me wrong when I say that, I'm not just taking on people that are easy, you know? In fact, I take people all the time that have been obese their entire life since they were 6 years old all the way through, and they have master's degrees in, you know, in kinesiology, and they've been playing sports, so they're definitely not, you know, like easy.
You want serious, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all. Serious people.
It's commitment. And it's the trust factor, right?
Yes.
You want somebody that comes in, knows you're the professional, you know, actively listens to what you have to say, applies it, and oh my God, it worked. Yeah. You know, that's really all we hope for.
It is. And I feel like I spent the majority of my early 20s and into my mid 20s trying to convince people, you know, hey, I'm really smart. I know what I'm doing. I promise. You know, like I feel like I was always having to convince people on my level of education and experience in the field that now I'm like beyond even trying to do that. Like I'm not trying to do that. I'm not going to waste my time doing that. Like we got too much shit to cover and get on with. Like if you're down and you trust me like that as a professional, then we're going to see great results. Otherwise, on to the next.
It used to always trip me out that somebody would spend, you know, even back then, $50 or $60 an hour and not be serious.
Yeah.
It used to always trip me out. I'm like,
I know what it's such
like
a
you
waste
just spend $2,000 and you're showing up, you know, 25 minutes late to your sessions. It's just the weirdest. It's almost like somebody spends that money because it's like, okay, here, this is going to make it happen. But they don't realize that it's the work.
Well, I also feel like we went through a trend in the, I don't know, early 2000s to mid 2000s where having a personal trainer was, you know, cool.
Like
it was cool.
Like a status.
Yeah, it was like a status thing to say that, my trainer, you know, but then they're, you know, drinking every weekend and eating shit food afterwards. But,
and then their friends would be like, why aren't you getting the six pack, Suthi?
Yeah, right.
You know, I know my trainer. He needs to work me harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, shut up.
Yeah. I feel like we had a lot of clients.
We
like
sound
that.
Like dicks.
I know, right? I seriously love people, though. This is what's hilarious.
Too late.
Like, I'm bitching about, I'm not going to backpedal.
Isn't Zach a trainer? Isn't he a trainer?
I think so.
I think he is a trainer. That or inspiring to be one. Yeah. I think he is definitely.
Yeah, you just got to deal with a lot of funny, stupid shit.
I had this lady come in once, older woman. She was probably, I'd say, late 60s. And I'd take her through exercises, and she would argue with me over the exercise. So I'd say, okay, we're going to press these up and, you know, these for a shoulder press or whatever. And she'd do two reps and put them down and be like, I can't do that. And I'd be like, well, why?
That's what I'm talking about, dude. Yeah. Shit like that. Like,
because
just no patience for that.
Because I don't want to work on my arms. I don't want to work on my arms. Yeah. I'm like, well, you've got imbalances. We have to train.
You're training me like a linebacker.
Dude, so one day, bro.
I got that before.
So one day, you're going to love this, right? So I give her 5-pound dumbbells to press overhead, which she could have handled 10 or 12, right? So she's got 5-pound dumbbells. She does two reps. She puts them down. She goes, ugh, it's too heavy. Give me the 1-pound dumbbell. Just give me the 1-pound. And I'm like, the 1-pound is way too light. You're not going to... And she goes, listen, I hire you, so I want to use the 1-pound dumbbell, and so that's what I'm going to use. And so I said, fine. So I give her the 1-pound dumbbell, and I'm like, 50 reps. know? And she's like, I'm not doing 50 reps. So finally, I took the dumbbells from her, and I said, you need to leave the gym right now.
Yes.
Excuse me? I said, you need to leave the gym right now. I'm going to write you a check for a refund. It'll be in the mail. Bye. See you later. And I literally kicked her out. It's the only time in my life I've ever... kick somebody out mid-session, but I could not stand this woman. If I did not kick her out, I would have taken that 1-pound dumbbell and I would have put it inside her eyeball.
That takes experience.
You know what I'm saying?
I would have given her experience to do that too. Like I said, with this lady too, it was at that point or the breaking point where you're like, listen, I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I see where this is going. Let's just go ahead and part ways.
Bro, I wrote her
amicably.
When I gave her the check,
it wasn't good.
Oh, when I gave her the check, I wrote her this email. And I was like, I've been a trainer for X amount of years. I have never in my life ever fired a client until meeting you. See, I said, I'm refunding you, even though I could probably fight some of this refund and charge you single session rate because we only did two session, whatever. But I just want you to never talk to me again. here's your money. Like, I was an asshole because I have never dealt with anyone like that.
See, I've only had one person that I've launched like that. That was the story I told last time where she threw a weight at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a breaking point. Like,
yeah.
7 years we've been together and you fucking throw a weight at me. Yeah, just
the,
I'm out.
The other way that I'll stop training someone is I'll just do the old, you know, I don't have time to train you. You know, the passive aggressive thing. But I had this lady that I'd train her and she just, you know, she'd make these sounds and she thought she was cute and I'd try and get her to do a little more intensity. And finally, you know, she told me, she's like, I can't do any chest exercises because I don't want to rupture my breast implants. And I had to bring up the stats. I said, look, this is how much weight it takes to rupture. You're not going to rupture them lifting what you're lifting. You're not even come close. And she argued with me. So the next time I was like, listen, I don't have any time on my schedule. And I just kind of passive aggressively disappeared.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Didn't answer her messages anymore. Just
at the beginning,
your way out of that.
At the beginning, though, I think, Zach, I mean, I think, and something we could all agree on for sure, if you're in your early years of training.
Oh, you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, pal. You don't have that luxury for a long time.
Yeah. And let's be honest, you guys all agree that it probably developed a lot of us, right?
I mean, yeah, it builds character. You got to put up with a lot of shit, just like any other profession. Yeah. I feel like, more than anything, it's like, what is it? Apprenticeship almost, where you really have to like put in hours and hours and hours and deal with all kinds of different personalities and you just got to be in the shit.
That's a great point because I hate this more than anything. I've had a lot of trainers work for me and I hate it when beggars start to be choosers.
Right? Yeah.
If you're a new trainer and you're training 3 sessions a week, and you're talking about, I don't want to train that client because that's not my favorite kind of... Like, get the fuck out of my face. You're working 3 hours a week. You're lazy.
You got to hustle.
But if you're training and you're charging 150 a session or 100 a session, and you're training 30 sessions a week, and you're making a lot of money, you're busting your ass, then you can say, I don't want to train so-and-so. But if you're new and you're starting off, guess what? You get to train everybody.
Well, and that's why I wanted to make sure we circle back around there because
that's a good point, Adam.
We got to remember that we're all 15 years plus in this, that we've been doing this. And like I said, when I first started, I prided myself on taking that because I worked with a lot of peers. Yep. You know, in my gym, when I first started, there was 15 other trainers besides me. And I was just blown away by how all of them would. They would just not train a client because, oh, they were just, and I was like, dude, that's money. You know, and I'm not cranking out the hours, which I was blown away. They weren't either. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take everything. I'll take everything until I don't need to take everything. And for me, it was the best thing I ever did, you know, and I also got that reputation. So then at that point, when I did have a boss, you know, my boss always dropped me the clients. Anybody that was challenging, I got all those people. And you go through that and it's good for you. So you do not, like Sal said, you do not want to be that pussy trainer who is whining about clients when you first started. Like, you know, suck it up, dude. Suck it up.
Get good
at your craft. And then you could punk people. Yeah,
we might be a little, we might be a little jaded, you know, after all these years of time put in, but at the same time, we still love it. You know, I absolutely love it. And I love changing people and making sure that, you know, I'm over-servicing them. So if I take you on, I'm going to over-service the shit out of you. Like, so don't even kid yourself. Like, I'm bending over backwards to do everything I can to get you where you need to go.
So to be clear, Justin will bend over and he will over-service you if you hire him.
Take everything you possibly can.
However that sounded is exactly what I do.
Take everything you possibly can. I don't know if I shared the story that the very first fit I ever took was... I also was a guy too who was willing to take appointments that were free and I got paid minimum wage on. And I'd get up and I'd meet people at 5 a.m. and I'd stay out and meet you at 10:00 p.m. I would take anything. If you were willing to see me and you had questions, you had help, I would take everything.
Yep.
And my buddy, who was a trainer, had been a trainer already for like 8 months there. You know, he pulled that, like, pawning someone off of me. If you're a trainer and you know, like, okay, if you got a young girl who's like, you know, 19 to 23 years old, and she wants to come in at 5 a.m, the likelihood of her buying training is very slim to none because she's 19, 20 years old, probably doesn't have the money to afford that kind of training, and it's that early in the morning. So, of course, my buddy pawns that off on me, and he shows up to work 3 hours later and looks at the SMR, which is the computer that shows what all the sales were the day, and there's $1,500 up that Adam sold first thing in the morning on my very first appointment. And so that, for me, was one of the best lessons I ever had as a trainer starting off, was like, fuck yeah, I'll take everything and anything, man. I ain't too good for nothing yet, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely. All right, next question. This is a great question. I feel like Adam's going to have a good answer for this one.
All right.
So this is from Nostra Kaplan, who I believe you guys are good friends with.
Dave.
Yeah, buddy.
And his question is, okay, so 3 months out from a bachelor party, do I spend money on protein shakes, get a 3-month gym membership with a trainer and a spray tan, or save it for strippers and rock?
rock the dad bod.
Oh, and rock the dad bod. Yeah. I thought it said in rock like Coke. I'm like, what the hell? So strippers and rock the dad bod.
Oh my God.
So where does he spend his money?
I love Dave, dude. I love Dave.
3 months out.
Well, you know what? Here's because you're a dad, this answer's different.
Yeah.
Because you're a dad, I kind of like to save it for the strippers and rock the dad bod. Just because you're a dad and you're not out shopping, right? But if you were single, I definitely would put my money in the 3-month membership and the spray tan. The trainer, if you find a good trainer. If you could get one of us for that price. I don't know how much money we're trying to save. Yeah. That's a lot of strippers. You hang out with me or Sal or Justin for 3 months. You could pay for a lot of strippers and a lot of fun stuff with a stripper to do at your Vegas instead.
It'll get weird, fast.
And mind you, you're paying for it, so she don't give a shit if you got a dad bod or you got a rockin' men's physique bod. It don't even fucking matter to her because she's getting paid. So,
the way I look at it is, if you're out in the pool in Vegas, unless you're like shredded. Then the guy who has the dad bod versus the guy that's kind of fit, it's not gonna be that big of a difference. It's all about charisma. If you show up and you're ripped, yeah, that makes a big difference. But if you're kind of fit versus your buddy,
just
that's
hang
like,
out at the craps table.
Yeah, there's. You know what I mean? I have to say I've been to Vegas with all physiques. Even though I'm not a dad, I've had the dad bod in physique before. and know what it's like. I guess for me, when I was out of shape like that, the only downfall is it's summertime, it's pool parties and stuff like that. Like you want to be able to pull your shirt off and feel good, you know, even if you don't feel like the buffest guy or the rippedest guy out there. So, you know, that's me personally. So, you know, even though I joked around and said save your money for the strippers, you know, I'm going pool 3 months. Like I'm getting in shape for sure. It's best of shape I can get in 3 months, depending how far out you are from that. If you're already in decent shape and you can get in, I mean, 3 months time is a long time. You can get pretty. I mean, I start dieting for a show 8 weeks, so it's 2 months.
I guess you're right. If you get the average, I don't know, 17-18% body fat guy in 3 months, you could get him down to 10%.
Oh yeah. I have a client right now that is one of my clients has been with me.
I mean, they'd have to do what you tell them.
Yeah, I literally had one of my one of my online clients. I love this dude too. His Instagram page, I'm gonna give him a shout out right now, is fries and
shit fries.
No.
.com.
Fries and something. I just forgot what it is. My bad, bro.
Low carb.
I'll think of it and I'll give it to you guys later. But anyway, so you guys can check him out and see how good a shape he's in. But he was somebody already that was in good shape, and he hired me to get him to like that next level shape. And literally for that reason, for pool parties and fucking Coachella and Stagecoach, like this dude fucking gets down at parties all the time.
Is it Fries and Ranch?
Yes.
I got it for you, bro.
My boy.
Fries and Ranch.
Fries and Ranch. So that's one of my clients, and he's the man. He is one of my favorite clients to help because, you know, I've had him for a while now, and that is exactly like, he's like, Adam, we got fucking Vegas in 12 weeks, bro. What are we doing? You know, and like, I tell him exactly what to do. He follows everything to a T. And then I love the dude because he sends me pictures of like his Vegas trip.
I'm looking at it right now. He's got pictures with chicks.
Oh, bad notches too. Dying pieces every time. All over him, all over the place. And I'm like, see, that's what happens when you take that, you go out there and 5-6% body fat, it's that good. So there is a difference between rocking a dad bod or Vegas pool and walking out there shredded. It's pretty wild. I mean, because let's be honest, it's Vegas, man. Vegas, half the people are out there with the 90% of the girls are out there with the mentality of what happens in Vegas stays in
Vegas.
Drunk
and horny.
Yeah, like on a whole nother level, dude.
Look at that six pack.
And they are not looking for a dad. They're not looking for someone to raise their children. They are looking for the guy who they can sleep with that night.
They're looking for that. What's that movie with the guys that are stripping? God,
Magic Mike.
Yeah, they're looking for the Magic Mike experience.
Yeah,
you know.
You guys realize that you've completely like I can never go to Vegas now because of all the shit you've just said. Make it sound like, all these chicks are just, walking around horn.
You weren't going there anyways.
Yeah, what are you talking about, bro? I go to Vegas almost every year.
You're not going. Why? There.
Yeah. Huh?
On a family trip?
No, I like watching the shows. Celine Dion's got a nice show over there.
Watch a little, magic. No, tigers.
I think we should go to a pool party, bro, after your show sometime.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna go out. I want to see the toes in action. I want to see the painted... The freaking manicure toe.
I have to say,
do a comparison between fungus toe and painted toe.
Yes.
I have to say, this is another reason why I love my girl, because she's been with me. She was with me in Vegas after USA's when I went pro. And that is hands down the most epic time for me ever. It'll go down as a long, long memory for me. And aside from the whole competing and winning and doing all that stuff, that was amazing in itself and a huge goal for me. But the feeling of being at that pool, and literally, I don't know what fits. What do you think fits an MGM? A couple thousand people? I don't know.
Probably.
Right. I mean, it was packed, completely sold out, packed shoulder to shoulder. And knowing that you are the rippedest dude in the entire place. Crowds of people were like standing around, watching me like dance and stuff. It was pretty wild, dude. And I had my girl.
And it wasn't because you don't know how to dance.
And I don't. Robot. And that's no. I actually
you're doing a lot of robot.
No, yeah, I can't dance, bro. I was doing like the keep the hands close by your side. I was just kind of
little shoulder bounce.
That's my move.
Yeah,
dude.
It's like Sal's move. It wasn't even a good move. And so we were up in this like VIP pool. Area at MGM
Trap
at the MGM pool, wet, right? And groups of girls were trying to get up into there so they could come talk to me while I'm with my girl. And the bouncer guy comes over to me and he's like, "Hey, dude, do you know these people?" And I'm like, "No, I have no idea." He's like, "Well, these girls want to come up and talk to you," like that. And I'm like, I look over at my girl, and my girl's like, "Whatever." So we started letting in, we'd let three girls in, they'd come over, take pictures with me, talk to me for a little bit. Then we'd send them out. Then another group of girls would come in. And that, my girl just ride or die. No trip. Didn't even trip, dude. Team troop doesn't phase her, so that's cool. That's the type of chick that you can go to Vegas with that, like that, and not phase her and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty awesome. So epic feeling though to feel that. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy that moment of feeling like that. It was pretty rad.
So if you've got the dedication and the commitment to getting shredded, then do that. Otherwise, save it for strippers.
Yeah,
and rock the dad.
And if you can be honest with yourself and say that, because I know a lot of people too. I don't really care about that stuff. And, I'm not really into that. And it's like, I'll tell you right now.
They don't care about it because they're like, I ain't going to do what it takes.
I don't like when hot chicks touch me. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
And I'll be the first to admit that I'm with my girl. So it's definitely not the first thing that my mind is winning a competition. That was the number one focus for me. But if the byproduct was what happened of that type of attention and feeling like that, it was the closest feeling of famous or whatever you want to feel.
Like coming.
It was like coming. It was like coming all the time out there. It was pretty ridiculous and pretty epic. So
excellent. All right. I guess that concludes our question and answer segment.
I'll dream about that tonight.
Boop.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.